open. Actually, his first appearance with us is going to be on a Wednesday night. That's going to make you have to come out, and you're going to want to be there. So Pastor Lee wants to talk about some things, so it's going to be important, very important that everybody be there at least one Wednesday, right, to see Pastor Lee again. So we're just thankful for, you know, God's continued healing touch on him and blessing Jackie. Amen. Amen and amen. I don't think I'll have any more announcements or messages. Amen. Let's just pray one more time. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you, Father God, for what you're going to do in our midst today. Father, thank you for encouraging your people day by day. Your mercy is being new every morning, Father God. It can't help but get excited. So, Father, we thank you for that today. Lord, those hearts that need to be encouraged or touched, we thank you for that. Today is the day for that, Lord. We appreciate you so much, Father God, for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness day by day. And today again, Father God, your power, Father God, being demonstrated in our midst, Father God. The word of God being a seed, Lord, landing in good soil. How about your heart? My heart's good soil. Thank you for good hearts, soft hearts, receiving a word today, Lord. Producing a seed, Father God, unto your righteousness and purposes in our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. So the title of my message today would be One Valuable Commodity. One Valuable Commodity. And you think of commodities, you think of like gold and silver. Or you might think of land, you know, commodity and the utility of land. And we'll get back to this. It's going to make good sense by the time we're done. It's all going to come together. I pray it will. Amen. You know, something about a commodity, you don't need much silver for value, right? Or gold especially. And you think of like land as a commodity, right? And sometimes you, in your mind, you might think a huge piece of land, yeah, that's got value. This vast, think of a section of land, 640 acres, right? Maybe a large value to that land. But depending on where it is, maybe not. And to be honest, maybe a very small postage stamp-sized lot in downtown New York would be worth much more than that large piece of land. The value isn't always in what size or what we see. It can be totally opposite, actually. So let's look at a commodity today, the most valuable commodity. I wanted to mention real quick as we move forward, is 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Amplified Version says, talking to you and me, the Apostle Paul talking to his church, saying, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. So what was that veil? That was the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, right? Preaching the law, preaching the do's and the don'ts. But it says, removed from our faces. And with no veil, listen to this, and with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. Do you consider yourself today, if you're a believer, that veil has been removed? Amen? Do you consider yourself sometimes that veil being there, that it's clouded, that you can't see? We know the Word of God says that we see through a glass dimly. But as we move forward, understanding that veil for you and I as believers, new covenant believers, that veil has been removed. The veil, veiling what? Veiling the truth. Veiling his love, his purposes, his desires in our life. No veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus around us to others. We are being transfigured into his very image. Amen. Listen, we are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. Amen. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Thank God it comes from him. Amen. We can trust him. This strength, this power, this reflection of his glory comes from him. Boy, that gives me the ability to rest in him, to be comforted. That strength, that power, reflection in my lives, regardless from work, at home, wherever I am, that reflection and strength and ability coming from the Spirit of God. But a few scriptures before that, In 2 Corinthians 3:14, it says, but their minds were hardened. Who was that? That was the Jewish people at that time. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. The do's and the don'ts of the law. You've got to do this, and then you'll get this. There's always a carrot before you. But we know that the Word of God says that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, was a ministry of condemnation. We talked about that this last Wednesday night, being a ministry of condemnation. But when the preaching of the law of you've got to have your act straight, when that's preached, I don't care if it's even in a new covenant church or a modern day church, there's a veil that drops, because you can never do it. You can never attain it. You never can be good enough. You're never going to put yourself in a position and say, I've arrived, God, now you can use me, or now you can bless me. Anytime that's preached that you've got to perform, a veil just drops. It becomes like any other religion then, where you got to perform. We got to be on our knees and pray towards Mecca 5 times a day. The things that people will do to try to please and earn God's favor. I have an aunt who lives in Paris, France, and her telling me about where in certain streets and areas of Paris, when certain times of the day, those who follow the faith of Islam will drop right there. Traffic stops, everything stops, and they get on their knees and pray towards Mecca, because that's what they think their God requires, to please him. For me and you in the new covenant, born again by his blood alone, if I start preaching to you anything to be accepted by God, you got to perform or do this or that, a veil will start dropping. You won't see his true nature. You won't see him clearly. But as you see him, he loves you because of the blood we sang about today. When you realize it's his blood that washes your sins away, then that veil becomes to lift up. And through his power, you perform. Through his power, sin is broken in your life. Through his power, you produce righteousness. Amen. Good stuff. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for lifting the veil in this day and the hour, in this hour. Lifting the veil. We're seeing you more and more clearly, God. More confidence in what you can do through us, your ability, regardless of the past, regardless of yesterday, the week before, a year ago, 10 years ago, we thank you for lifting that veil, Father God, in Jesus' name. Because the veil has been lifted, you and I can read the Old and New Testament in a totally different light, understanding. And today I want to read actually a set of scriptures from the Old Testament with a new covenant understanding, with the veil being lifted. It's going to be Joshua 1:1-9 in the New Testament, in the New American Standard Version. You guys, let's see, I think I have that in the New American Standard here, Bill, on the thing, real quick, if you can grab that. Amen. No problem. Thanks, Bill, if you have that ability. But I'm going to read that from here. So it came about, we're talking about Joshua. So Joshua, Moses had died, right? 120 years of age, he had died. Joshua now is the leader of the children of Israel, amen? He's the leader of the children of Israel. So he's been with Moses' right-hand man. He's seen everything that Moses had done. And now God's gonna talk to him a little bit. So now it came to pass, after the death, and mind you, we're going to read this with a new covenant understanding today. I think it's going to be powerful. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead, so now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your footsteps, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life, just as I have been with Moses. I will be with you. I will not desert you nor abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may achieve success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For that then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will achieve success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified nor dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen and amen. But how can you and I today look at this, right? How can we? Let me just say that Joshua, the name Joshua and Jesus in the Hebrew, Yehoshua is actually the same name. But Jesus and Joshua in the Hebrew is the same name. One thing I want to mention here too says Joshua, the son of Nun. Well, I find it interesting that the son of Nun means the state of being, eternity, never ending. Never ending. So if looking at it under the new covenant, I could say this, Jesus, the son of the Ancient of Days. I could put in this scripture, Jesus, the son of God. So when we take this, I look at this because I know that it says, hey, Joshua, go take these people, go over the Jordan and take the land. But what about today? What does that land look like today? So if you could put that on there, Bill, if you have that picture. Amen. So you see in the yellow with the red is what Israel looked like back in the time of Solomon and King David. But if you look at the red, that's what Israel looks like today. Much smaller. I don't think Israel will probably ever have that whole piece of land again. So is when I look at that and I'm looking at the scripture and the purposes of the scripture for the new covenant, could I be looking at this and saying, Lord, you're talking about a lot more than just Joshua and the 12 tribes taking a piece of land? Because they don't have that piece of land anymore. It's much smaller to the degree. So maybe God is talking something much different even for you and I today. As a matter of fact, I believe I know he is when I understand that Joshua being a type of Jesus, the son of Nun, the Ancient of Days, the son of God, and Moses being the one who administered the old covenant, but Jesus being the one who declared and became the new covenant, having fulfilled the old covenant. So let me read this a little bit differently as we move forward. So I could say this with those scriptures. I could say, going back real quick, Bill, says, now it came to pass to Joshua 1:9. Verses 1 and 9. Now it came after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Jesus, the son of God, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Or we could say this, Moses, the old covenant is dead. Jesus has fulfilled it. He's fulfilled the old covenant. Let me say that when we talk about the lands, now when he starts talking about these areas, this area, it's talking about you and I. Actually, he's talking about the different areas in our life. The different areas in our life. You say, well, Chad, what do you mean about that? Can you show me that in Scripture? Yeah, let's go to Jeremiah 17:9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the mind of God? Who can know the soul of man? It's vast. You think of all the areas in your life. You think right now, think of if you're in your mind, if you thought it, your life in your mind, if you could say, hey, if my heart, my soul, my being was a planet, in your mind, what would it look like? What would it look like, a planet? If you're walking on a planet right now in your life, what would it look like in your mind? You know, would you see trees and plants and water in your life? Would you see some desert? You know, I was kind of joking with myself, and I thought, what if I was walking in my wife's mind? All these trees, it'd be like a jungle. We tried to hack through with a machete. There'd be like giraffes. Yeah. There might be a lion. There'd be an elephant. You know why there'd be an elephant? Because an elephant never forgets. Just kidding, hon. That I'm just kidding, totally, hon. Just kidding. Many times in the scripture, God will talk about comparing his people to, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen? The word of God being like a seed planted by the rivers of water. Let's look at Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 12 through 15 in the New American Standard Version. It said, a locked garden. So this is Song of Solomon. A locked garden is my sister or my bride. So who's the bride? Are we the bride of Christ? Amen. Aren't we the bride of Christ? A locked spring, a sealed fountain. Your branches are an orchard of pomegranates with delicious fruits, henna, with nard plants, nard and saffron, spice, reed, and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, along with all the finest balsam oils. You are a garden spring, a well fresh water, and flowing streams from Lebanon. So pointing to you and I about, you think of the scripture too, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Given examples of bushes and trees and different things, a garden. Thinking about Adam and Eve, how they lived in the garden and they fellowshiped with God. Use of those areas in our lives, the different areas that we have in life that are vast areas. I'll give you some examples of this, you and the vast areas within your mind and your soul. Stick with me. So you think about these different boxes or spaces in one's heart and soul. So we have the boxes or spaces within us that are relationships. It can be family, spouses, children, past relationships. Each one of these areas is our life. We have their own dynamics. Just think how complex all the different relationships, all the different things that are going on in our hearts and our lives. Vast area, a big area. We have the boxes or spaces within our lives that have to do with our work, our careers, or retirement. Within them, there are a whole different set of relationships and challenges. Bank account, mortgages, rents, taxes, on and on. These different areas within our lives that really take up so much space, but yet they're within this area of our life. Amen. We have the box of spaces in our lives regarding politics and the pandemic and all that entails right now. Just think of all those areas in your life and those challenges in their own little separate area. Almost like their own little separate country or area within your life. Within your life. Different. Or we have the boxes or spaces regarding our hopes and dreams. Or maybe you're retired and you're wondering what's next. Little areas and boxes in our lives that take up space. Different compartments that make up you, the human being. The complex human being that you are. Amen. Amen. I think about Israel, the land, like the land of Israel, the history of Israel, and I read about an often defeated people. Israel was habitually sold into slavery. Did you know that? They'd come in and out of slavery. They'd get right with God, and then they would fall back from following the law. They'd start following other gods, serving other gods, and then they were sold into slavery. It even mentions the enemy coming in and stealing the fruit of their lives. I think thinking of Gideon, before Gideon rose up, that the enemy would come in and steal all of their crops. And isn't that what the enemy likes to do now when God, there's fruit in our lives, and fruit in our lives, that the enemy wants to come in and steal it? And then people feel like they got to start over. Maybe they got to start over. So the enemy comes in to take the fruit that's in our lives. You think of the fruit, it's those things in our lives, this vast area within you of fruit in relationships. Fruit in ministry, fruit with your family, different fruits that the enemy is always looking to stifle or to steal. In Romans 7:14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am fleshly, sold into bondage to sin. Satan being the taskmaster, when you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior or an understanding of his righteousness through you, sin is a taskmaster. Sin becomes a something that just devours the life and the heart of an individual. Amen. I think if, as we move through, I start thinking about 1 Corinthians 3:16, even the temple. Even the temple of Solomon. Think about the size and the glory of Solomon's temple, right? That when it was dedicated, the anointing and the power of God was so strong that even those that were making the sacrifices couldn't stand up in the presence of God. But even in all that glory, isn't that interesting? That was only a shadow of the Spirit of God resting in who? And you and I, amen? It was like when also in the tent, before the Solomon's tent Solomon's temple was built, God's glory was in a tent. And that tent would in and out. What is that a representation? Take a deep breath. The glory of God resting in a tent. Always just a foreshadow, always just something pointing to you and I. You and I today as his Spirit rest in us. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. You see, this area of me and you, this commodity, this piece of dirt, God breathed on dirt, right? Breathed in dirt and it became life, is the most precious thing God has ever made. It's vast, it's complex, it's a mystery, it can't be mapped. We can map countries, we can map spaces, but in our hearts it can't be mapped. It cannot be mapped. You see all the universe, the plants, the stars, all the planets, the stars, the wondrous creations we see on the earth, yet you and I are the most valuable commodity in creation. The most valuable piece of real estate, so to speak. The most valuable thing that God ever made is you and I. You see, the world thinks the opposite. You know, the world thinks the most valuable thing is the world itself, the dirt, right? The planet, right? But the most valuable thing, commodity, is God ever made is you and I. Amen? Amen. That's why we have the world that thinks everything's important but man. You think about the unborn. You think about the hurting. But when you're flipped and not realizing what the most important commodity is in the world is people, you go to things that false gods, it's the planet. But actually, with a born-again saint, the most important thing is people. The most important commodity is people. 1 Corinthians 6:18 and 20 talk about the Holy Spirit that is in it. It says, flee sexual immorality. Every other sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought for a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Purchasing us. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed. We were sold into sin, sold into slavery, but he redeemed us, right? But what did he redeem us with? Was it a commodity? The most precious commodity of all was knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. You think of a Cain and Abel, and it says that Abel's blood was crying out from the earth for vengeance. But then you think about Jesus Christ, whose blood, every drop of his blood was spilled on the earth, crying out, declaring redemption. Redemption, his blood crying out from the earth, saying redemption for mankind. Redemption for the most precious commodity there is in the world. You consider yourself the most precious thing that God has ever made. Amen. That's what makes us different than the world. I'm precious in his sight. And it took the most precious thing in God's sight to redeem me from the curse of the law, being sold into sin. This piece of real estate, you and I, being redeemed, only could be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. I wonder, says, why was God willing to redeem us? Amen? You think he made me, but how precious is mankind, right? God letting you and I, you get married and decide to have children, you're creating the most precious commodity in the entire universe. How God loves us. I love Psalms 139, 13 and 14. For you created my inmost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. Amen. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. I think the attractive thing to people around us is knowing that, giving value to people. That's why you and I give such value to the unborn. It's God's most precious commodity. Humankind, amen? You and I being so precious in his sight. When we realize that, that's what gives us the strength, that's what gives us encouragement, that's what gives us confidence, knowing how much we mean to him. And when other people around us see that, that's when they say, I want that too. What do you have? Not a pride, not an arrogance, but knowing who we are in Christ. That confidence that he's got my back, he's leading me, he's guiding me, he's providing for me. After all, I'm the apple of his eye. Do you consider yourself the apple of his eye this morning? I say, do you consider yourself the apple of his eye this morning? So yeah, it does come back to what God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. I want to go back and read that again, but in a different light. Can we read that together again? Sometimes we can read that and say, yeah, that's great. But what can that mean for you and I today? Say, now it came about after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua. You know, when Jesus came and walked on this earth, he was fully God, but he was being directed by the Holy Spirit. Just like you and I are today, being directed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Lord spoke to Jesus, the Son of the Most High. Moses, my servant, is dead. This thing, this old covenant is passing away. I'm going to establish something new. I'm the one, only one that can fulfill it. So Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, cross the Jordan, go into the enemy's territory. Who is the God of this world? Satan. So God speaking to Jesus says, go right in the enemy's territory. Cross the Jordan, go right in the enemy's territory. You and all this people to the land which I'm giving to them. To the sons of Israel. Who is a joint heir of Christ? Are you and I joint heirs with Christ? Children of Abraham. Amen. Sons of Israel. Amen. Absolutely. Adopted. Every place on which the sole of your foot steps, I have given it to you. As Jesus walked this earth, taking back ground from Satan, from the enemy. The law, Adam and Eve, the perfect beings, sinning against God, allowing now being children, not of God, but children of the enemy, allowing sin in their lives. Every place on which your sole of your footsteps, I have given it to you, just as I have spoken to Moses, from the wilderness. Let's just start thinking the different parts of your life, the different boxes, the different things that may still be broken, the different things where you still think, I don't think I can get past that. I don't think this addiction I'll ever get past. I don't think that I'll ever be able to have confidence in this area. I don't think I can ever revisit that time and place in my life. That's going to remain broken. That's going to remain a place of shame. That's going to remain something that I can't even look at. The vast areas of your life. But this is what Jesus did. Verse 4 again. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Everything in our lives being restored under Christ. You see, Israel's not but a fraction of what it was. It'll probably never look like it did before. But for that, when Jesus came to redeem us, it wasn't about the earth. The elements of this earth will pass away. Israel will never be what it was before. We know that God's coming back and he has a purpose for Israel, but we know that now we are joint heirs with Christ. So all these areas, he's telling Jesus, all these areas of the lives of people, I'm going to redeem it. It's the only way it can be redeemed. Those vast areas, those wilderness areas, those things in our life, God said, I am redeeming those. As far as the great sea, it says the wilderness and the Lebanon, verse 4, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates and the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. Now we're joint heirs with Jesus. The things, Jesus said, the things that I do, you'll do also, and greater things than these. So imagine yourself, Jesus is the one that's in the enemy's camp. He is walking this earth perfect, right? Amen? No one will be able to oppose you, verse 5 again. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not desert you nor abandon you. So as Moses was a servant, Jesus coming as a son, you imagine God saying to him, I won't abandon you. Jesus, you've got a purpose here. You're the Son of God. You're my son. His spirit speaking to him. He had to hear from God too. Why did he go and pray often? He was God, but he was being directed by the same Holy Spirit that you and I are. He would go and pray before he picked his disciples. He went and prayed. Amen. In the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, Lord, if this could pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So with this is, as Jesus is walking on this earth, 6, as we are walking with him, be strong and courageous. Could you imagine God telling Jesus that as he's walking on this earth? Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. That's you and I, every area of our lives now. The most precious commodity to God, our lives, saying, I'm going to redeem you, every area of you, not just parts of you. You don't have to remain broken in certain areas, but God's saying, yes, you can be whole in me. Of course, we grow in him and grow in his grace and his strength, but when we know that we're redeemed every area of our lives, it gives us such confidence. How many people never step out in purpose just because there's areas of my life that are never going to be whole? I'm never going to have that healing in my life. I'm always going to be crippled in an area of my life. This is saying that God said the whole thing. I'm redeeming everything, Israel. Israel's just a tiny piece of what it was. He's talking about the many different areas of your life. Everywhere you walk, Jesus, I'm redeeming it. I'm redeeming it. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous because of what he's accomplished, you and I being strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Who did that? Jesus. Did he break one bit of the law? Did he have one sin? Be careful to do all in the law. Who in the world is going to do that? Did Israel ever do that? No, they never did it. Back and forth. Bondage. Lord, we're back. Bondage, back and forth. They never could do it. Only Jesus could do it. So I hear in my spirit, as Jesus is walking this earth, his Father speaking to him, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may achieve success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall achieve success. Amen. Jesus, could you hear him? Jesus hearing from the Father. Do every bit of it. Follow me. The only one that could read that law, look at it and say, I can do it. Every sentence of the law, everything that's required, I can do it. And he did it. And then, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so reading that, saying, God, you did that, Jesus. You did every, as God is speaking to you and saying, I'm going to fulfill that law 100%. I'm going to take back the land, not the land of that picture, but my people. The most precious commodity to me is people. I'm going to purchase them. I'm going to make their lives whole. Those areas that they think they can never, ever come out of, by my power, by my blood, because I am the one that fulfilled the law and redeemed them, you are whole. Father, we thank you for that today. We thank you, Father, as we read a passage of Scripture that in some ways wouldn't make sense, didn't make sense to me, because Israel doesn't look like anything like it used to. And then saying, be careful to do the entire law. I can't do the law. I can't focus on that. I've already done that. I've already tried that, been there, done that. You know the whole thing about a t-shirt and hat. Didn't work. For I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've heard me say it. Now what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's all written on my heart. I don't follow a list of do's and don'ts so that I don't have any confidence in him. But he redeemed. I'm walking with him as he is the one saying, yep, I can do it. I'm the one. Yes, I can fulfill the law. I'm saying, yes, you can, Jesus, and I'm falling right behind you. I'm falling right behind you. Not unto my perfection, but because he redeemed me, I can be strong and courageous. I can be very strong and courageous and following him. Amen. Having his strength, his ability in my life. Taking a passage of Scripture, which I would read under the old covenant and say, I got to be strong and courageous, but then it says, I got to be very careful to do everything and say, no, God, that's talking about you. You redeemed Israel. You redeemed me and made me what I am today. Amen. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5, Bill, I didn't give this to you, as the worship team comes up. So Jesus, in the old covenant, Jesus' sacrifice covered every area of man's existence. Every area. What is area? Vast area. Think of area. Every area in your heart, your soul. The areas that you struggle with still. Areas that you don't even really think of. Maybe the dreams and visions of your life, of what at one time you thought, man, I'm going to accomplish this. Maybe God placed something in your heart, but now you haven't even thought about it. It's a room that you don't even go into. It's an area, that vast country called your life, that you don't even dwell in. But he says that but because of what Jesus said, every place I put my foot is mine. But in the areas of my life, in the areas of my life. But according to Isaiah, said Jesus' sacrifice covered every area of man's existence. He bore spiritual torment for our sins. Amen. Mental distress for our worry, that crown of thorns on his head that he willingly took for me. Mental distress for our worry, our care, our sorrow and fear, as well as physical pain for our sickness and diseases. The stripes he bore and the blood he shed were for our healing. By his stripes we are healed.
Yes. Yes.
Father, we thank you for that today. Who can know the mind of man? Who can conquer all the complexities and the struggles of mankind? He already did. And so he's walking in Israel, all these different areas. Today means the different areas of your in my life again. Every area. He conquered it. He went across the Jordan, took back what the enemy stole. Oh, Jesus, everything you see here is yours. Every person, every area. So we can have that confidence. Because the Holy Spirit living is knowing that temple, we read about the temple. Wasn't that glorious? That temple's not even here anymore. It's been gone for almost 2,000 years because God is dwelling on the inside of you and I.
Yeah, that's right.
Father, we thank you for that.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Can we stand up together? We're going to worship together.
Yes.
I think it says modern psychology would say train your mind, your will, and your emotions. Perhaps you will reach a balance in your life and somehow find fulfillment. Jesus says you're a new creation, right? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, this person is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You know that. You know these scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Philippians 3:12 says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Jesus Christ first possessed me. First possessed me. Amen. Those different areas, those different boxes in your life, you know what we can do? We can say, Lord, you redeem those areas. Those weaknesses can become strengths. Those things I haven't thought about or those areas in my life, boxes that I won't even go into those areas. We can go into those areas. They've been redeemed. Amen? We can go back to those areas where we struggle with whether resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, all those boxes. God, thank you for removing those things. Those sorrows in my life. Sorrows that don't end. People sometimes have a sorrow in an area of their life that doesn't ever seem to be healed. But he redeemed every area of your life, those sorrows. He took on our sorrows. Lord Jesus, thank you. We can give those sorrows to you. We can trust those areas, those things that hold us back. We thank you for that today. Do you believe me? Do you believe that, brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you for removing the veil.
Yes.
Thank you for removing the veil and us coming into grace. For by grace are you saved. Amen?
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, for when we come into performance and compare ourselves to others, that veil starts to come down. We don't see him. But when we keep that, Lord, by grace I'm saved. We thank you, Father. Anybody here, Lord, that has a veil or something in their lives, Father God, that keeps them from seeing you clearly because of performance, we thank you, Father God, that just release that right now. Just release that. Father, we thank you today, Father, for your blessing in our lives, encouragement and strength, your peace, the peace that passes all understanding, confidence in you, a fresh confidence. Thank you, Lord, for confidence in you. You know, you think about the Spirit of God in houses inside you and I. Shouldn't we be the most confident people in the world? The Lord loves taking the broken, the least, and making them shine for his glory, doesn't he? He loves doing that. You think about the people that surrounded Jesus at the time he was on earth. Who were the ones that were coming to him? It was the broken. Who was the first person in the book of John that he said, I am him, I'm the Son of God? It was the Samaritan woman. It was the Samaritan woman. It wasn't some Jewish official. The Samaritans, who the Jews wouldn't hang out with, wouldn't even go near. But not only was it a Samaritan woman, it was somebody who had been married 5 times, somebody living with somebody they weren't married to. And that's the first person in the book of John. He says, I am the Son of God. I am him. Taking the broken and doing something wonderful for his glory. That's me. How about you, Father? We trust you for that today. Lord, we thank you for that today. If you need prayer or want prayer, please come up after the service. We'd love to pray for you, with you. We're going to have a chili. They'll join us right now. Next week, we'll say who won the chili. We'll announce that. Have a little bit of fun. Amen. Thank you for the judges. I know Bob Reed had to help me because I didn't have it figured out. Thank you for taking the lead on that, Bob. But Father, we thank you again as we'll sing this last song and we'll be dismissed. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Strength like no other, strength like It will never